The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. Please turn to page 98 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. After Jesus spent the night praying, he selected 12 from many disciples that followed him. The following verses tell who they were. These are verses 13 to 16. When the morning came, he called on his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. Peter and Andrew, and James and John were brothers. Philip and Bartholomew are friends. Andrew and John were standing with their teacher, John the Baptist, when they decided to follow Jesus. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Andrew and John followed Jesus after hearing this. And Andrew went and told his brother Simon, "We met Messiah, the Christ." And then he took his brother to Jesus. Jesus said to Simon, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." Cephas is translated into Peter, or rock. Jesus was the one who named Simon Peter. It is not recorded in the Bible, but John, another disciple of John the Baptist, would also have gone home like Andrew and told his brother James about having met Jesus. This is how the brothers Simon and Andrew, James and John, became disciples of Jesus. Philip was the most prudent and rational thinker among Jesus' 12 disciples. This is how Jesus called Philip to be his disciple. This is John chapter 1, verses 43 to 44. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. But in the case of Philip, Jesus came to him. So Philip could be referred to as the first disciple Jesus actually called on. But Philip had no plans or resolutions to follow Jesus before Jesus called on him. Nor was he immersed in various religions or studies to find the truth. As a fellow villager of the brothers Peter and Andrew, he had only faithfully worked as a fisherman in the Sea of Galilee. He became a disciple of Jesus one day after meeting him. Even though Philip had been a believer for some time, not many people knew about the disciple Philip. We know Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven chosen to care for the Christian community in Jerusalem, recorded in Acts, better than the disciple Philip. There was a great persecution in Jerusalem after the martyrdom of Stephen. The evangelist Philip was the one who spread the gospel in Samaria at the time. Philip was also told by an angel to go to the road from Jerusalem, where he baptized the treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia. Afterward, he spread the gospel in many places and finally settled in Caesarea, where he continued to live as an evangelist. He had four daughters who prophesied. Meanwhile, I don't think there would be many Christians who can immediately associate affairs related with the disciple Philip. Like Andrew, there are only four parts recorded in the book of John about him. The following is the first thing Philip did after becoming a disciple of Jesus. This is John chapter 1, verses 45 to 46. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. The first thing Philip did after becoming a disciple of Jesus was going to his friend Nathanael and telling him about Jesus. So we can say that Philip was the first of Jesus' disciples to live the life of an evangelist. And Philip did not try to argue with Nathanael when he told him about Jesus. This was because he knew Nathanael's thoughts would not change from arguing. Philip spoke of Jesus very simply. "Come and see," he said. Arguing, rather than changing a person's heart, can make the walls of a person's heart thicker and more formidable. Philip is also mentioned in the miracle of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. This is John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" It seems Philip was in charge of food for Jesus and those who were with him. But Jesus did not ask this to Philip to discuss how to feed the great crowd. The following was the reason. This is John chapter 6, verse 6. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus did not ask Philip because he was in charge of food, but to test his faith. Philip said the following in response. This is John chapter 6, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. 1 denarius at the time was a day's worth of wage. People at the time did not receive as much wages as they do now. It is said that 1 denarius in Palestine at the time could buy 12 loaves of bread made with flour and 36 made with barley. So with 200 denarius, people could buy 2,400 loaves of bread made with flour and 7,200 made with barley. But there were about 5,000 adult men that were gathered, and counting women and young children, there would have been at least 10,000 people. So the 200 denarius Philip referred to was a minimum amount, which the gathered people could only have a half or quarter of a loaf of bread with, if the money was used to buy bread. If we consider a day's wage of our times as 100,000 won, 200 denarius would be about 20 million won. Divided 20 million won among 10,000 people, each person would get 2,000 won. Then or now, this amount is far too little to feed such a large group. Before Jesus asked, Philip already had an idea of how much money would be needed to feed the crowd with the least bit of food. We're able to tell that Philip was a thoughtful person. Philip's calculations were rational, but he had yet to properly see Jesus as the Creator and Savior. Philip is also mentioned when Jesus goes to Jerusalem for the Passover, before he was interrogated and died on the cross. The Greeks who came to Jerusalem for the Passover wanted to see Jesus. So they went to Philip. Philip, in turn, took them to Andrew. And Andrew took them to Jesus. We cannot know if this was because Philip was reluctant to take the Greeks to Jesus because they were Gentiles, or whether he found it difficult to take them to his teacher Jesus. But we can tell that he found it hard to make decisions at times and preferred to get input from someone else in making certain decisions. Finally, Philip is mentioned during Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus added, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." In response, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." To this, Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Because Philip did not suppress his curiosity and asked Jesus, we could hear the truth of Christianity that Jesus is God. Philip is known to have become a martyr in Hierapolis after spreading the gospel in various regions in the country now named Turkey. Revelations chapter 2 to 3 contain the Lord's words given to the seven churches of Asia. The seventh church is Laodicea. This church was reprimanded for being neither cold nor hot. Colossae, known for its refreshingly cold waters, was located 16 kilometers southeast of Laodicea. Hierapolis located about 10 kilometers north of Laodicea, was known for its hot springs. This location is now Pamukkale in Turkey. Limestone in the area looks like snow and warm water flows. A pilgrimage to Asia includes a stop at Pamukkale, where people take off their shoes and soak their feet in the warm water for rest. When the Apostle Philip spread the gospel of God in Hierapolis, and many people accepted the gospel, the leader of the region disliked this. Philip is known to have been crucified on the cross, upside down, with iron hooks in his ankles. Even as he was dying on the cross, he was known to have left the words, "I am not worthy of being wrapped in linen cloth Jesus was wrapped in. Please wrap me in papyrus." Philip had not planned to follow Jesus and met Jesus, who came to him in his daily life. But he followed Jesus for the rest of his life after meeting him and preached of eternal life. Next, we will take a look at Bartholomew. Bartholomew means son of Tolmai. It seems to be like the case of Johnson, a common surname in the U.S., which probably would not have been a surname, but meant son of John. Or Anderson, which would likely have meant son of Andrew. So some believe Bartholomew is the name of his household and that he had another name. Among the wives of David is the mother of Absalom, born to Maacah. She was the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Talmai is also the name of Bartholomew's father. So some believe Bartholomew had an aristocratic background. We do not know what kind of person Bartholomew's father was or what kind of life he lived. But Bartholomew was called son of his father. And this means that he was proud to be his father's son. What are the best words of gratitude children can say to their parents? Wouldn't it be, "I am so grateful that you are my parents"? When Israel was at war with the Philistines, Israeli soldiers found the Philistine giant Goliath formidable. But David, a boy, knocked him down, not with a sword or bow, but with a stone. The Israeli soldiers would have shouted with joy. The happiest person, however, was King Saul. He asked David, who returned from his victory, "Whose son are you, young man?" David proudly answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." David proudly stated that his father is Jesse, and Jesse became known due to his son David. But the only record of Bartholomew in the four Gospels and Acts is in the list of the 12 disciples. After Philip was called on by Jesus, he took his friend Nathanael to Jesus. And Jesus made him a disciple. But his name is not included in the list of 12. In John chapter 21, after Jesus was crucified, the seven disciples who are fishermen go back to Galilee to continue their lives as fishermen. Nathanael was among them. So Bartholomew and Nathanael are seen as being the same person. Philip, who was called on by Jesus, took his friend Nathanael to Jesus. The following verses record the first meeting between Jesus and Nathanael. This is John chapter 1, verses 45 through 51. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." When Philip told his friend Nathanael that he met the Messiah and that he is the son of Joseph, the Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael responded rather cynically, saying, "Can anything good come from there?" The Bible does not record why Nathanael assessed Nazareth this way, but Nathanael would have known about Nazareth because he was from Cana, about 10 kilometers north of Nazareth, where Jesus turned water into wine. Nazareth was a small village in the mountains where about 150 people of about 30 households lived. Nazareth was not once mentioned in the Old Testament. Nazareth was a completely remote village in the mountains. Nathanael could not believe that the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament could come from such a remote village with such a small population. Nathanael may have been interested in Jesus from the beginning if he was from Jerusalem or Bethlehem. Nathanael had a prejudice against Jesus, but Jesus referred to him as a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Jesus saw Nathanael for who he was and referred to his strengths. Dolos is the Greek term for false. It means bait, snare, or trap. These are all used to capture a subject to achieve one's purpose. So what Jesus meant was that Nathanael was not a person who uses all means to achieve their purpose. Christians are people who do not forego any means to achieve their own goals. People of the world may think that only results matter, but God considers the means important. There is a saying in Korean, it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get to Seoul. But this is not the case. One cannot achieve a right purpose by using the wrong means. If one believes this saying is true, they could likely fall into the trap of only valuing results. Even if a person attains his goal, this will not fill him with meaning and a sense of reward, but with void. Nathanael, who had a prejudice against Jesus, but saw Jesus talking about his strengths, was surprised and asked, "How do you know me?" Jesus said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." For people living in Galilee at the time, fig trees were a place of rest, like zolkova trees in Korea in the past. Fig trees grew up to 5 meters, and their branches spanned 7 to 8 meters. Most families at the time lived in a space with only one room. So whoever wanted some quiet time alone could go in the shade of the fig tree planted in front of their home and read the Bible and meditate on it. So Jesus said to Nathanael, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." And Nathanael became a disciple of Jesus. Philip, after becoming a disciple of Jesus, went to his friend Nathanael and said, "He met the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote." This means Nathanael knew who the Messiah who was to come was, because he had studied the Old Testament. For Nathanael, the fig tree was where he sought the truth to find the Messiah, and where he knelt down. Nathanael met Jesus after he strived to find the truth and life, and offered his life to Jesus. There are 7 parables Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13. So we call Matthew chapter 13 the chapter of parables. All 7 of the parables are about the kingdom of God. So we refer to Matthew chapter 13 as the chapter of parables about heaven. The 5th parable is the parable of the hidden treasure, and the 6th about the merchant looking for fine pearls. Because banks had not developed during ancient times, people used to keep their treasure in their fields. When going to fight in a battle, people hid their treasures in fields only they knew of. But there were cases when fields with treasures hidden in them were left as they were because the people who fought in the war died. When a person plowed through a borrowed field and found the hidden treasure, that person would buy the field, even if it meant he had to sell all of his possessions for it. According to the law of the time, a person could keep the treasure he found in the land he purchased. The treasure is the kingdom of God and our Lord. The person who bought the field did not plow the field because he knew that it had treasure hidden in it. It may have been the case that others plowed the same field and farmed the land, but did not discover the treasure. But this person found it. As such, there are people among us who have found the kingdom of God and became a disciple of the Lord. Some had no interest in the truth, the eternal life, and the kingdom of God, but learned about it at a worship hall, to attend some event with their family members or friends, and ended up living as disciples of our Lord. They have been called on, like Philip. There are also other cases. Pearls were a symbol of wealth in both the East and West, and in certain cases were valued more than gold. Jesus says, a merchant in pursuit of fine pearls who has traveled around the world finds the pearl he has sought and sells all of his possessions to buy it. The merchant did not stand idle. He strived to find fine pearls. And he knew what kind of pearl was worth selling all of his possessions for. So when he found it, he sold all of his possessions. The pearl is the kingdom of God and our Lord. Among us are people who have become disciples of the Lord after discovering the kingdom of God in this way. Some have immersed themselves in various religions and studied philosophy until they came across the truth of Christianity and stopped wandering about and became Christians and disciples of the Lord. These people have been called the way Bartholomew or Nathaniel was called. It doesn't matter when in the processes of our lives we're called, how we joined the church community, or what made us become disciples of the Lord. What matters is that we all became God's people through the grace of God and met our Lord, who is the eternal treasure and the pearl that cannot be exchanged for anything in this world, and that we have become disciples following the Lord. We are all Christians called in the same era, and we are all disciples of the Lord. Regardless of how we became Christians and disciples, let us lift up our eyes and live as true Christians and true disciples. When we live as true Christians and disciples, the society filled with falsehood, injustice, and conflict will be restored. This is because our Lord works through true Christians and true disciples. Let us pray. Father God, Philip was called by Jesus one day. He did not plan or resolve to follow the Lord or immerse himself in religion or studies to find the truth. He simply became a disciple because the Lord called on him. Many of us were called in the same way as Philip. We are simply going about our daily lives, but by the grace of the Lord, became part of the kingdom of God, which we cannot buy with anything in the world. Help us now to live as true Christians and disciples who have received this grace. Bartholomew Nathaniel became a disciple when he met Jesus after spending time seeking the truth under the fig tree and meditating on the Messiah. Some of us were called like Nathanael. We immersed ourselves in various religions and explore through countless books to find the truth or achieve peace at heart. At times we lived according to worldly values, but after we encountered you and your word, we came to dwell in the pearl, which is not only the most valuable pearl, but also an eternal one, and we became people of the kingdom of God. Help us now to live as true Christians and disciples who possess this pearl. Let us remember that living as true Christians and disciples is the only way for our lives, our families, and the society to be restored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.